Now, the AFL legend and three-time Sandover medal winner Polly Farmer died last year after a fight with Alzheimer's. And today, Glenn Quartermaine in the West Australian told us that his family decided after his death to allow his brain to be tested for signs of CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the degenerative brain disease found in people with a history of repeated brain trauma, and it can only be revealed after death. I want to welcome Ben Cameron to the studio. Benny, good afternoon.
Hello, Jeff. Good to be here, and here with one of my favourite people. One of the true joys of working here throughout the winter months is sitting alongside this man at the WAFL.
I don't doubt it. Peter Spencer has been part of WA football for as long as I can remember, as a two-time Sandover medal winner for East Perth, period at North Melbourne, and for more than a generation. I think we call 25 years a generation, Pete, part of our ABC Waffle commentary team. And when you ask fans what they most remember about Peter Spencer, head over the ball, the knocks he took, the headgear he wore, something that was probably considered almost unthinkable in those days. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Jeff. Great to be here.
Firstly, your reaction to the news of what we now know about Polly.
Yes, look, it was a bit of a shock, to be honest. I knew what a wonderful player he was. I wasn't aware of the amounts of concussion that he had over those years. I suppose when you've played for that long, maybe I should have been aware of it. But when I read the article today about Brett Farmer mentioning the times that he'd see him at home with a bucket and vomiting as a result of concussions, and then to read what happened when they examined the brain, it was quite disturbing, to say the least.
There will be people listening who don't know the game the way you knew the game from that era. Can you tell me, and I know Polly coached you at East Perth.
Yes.
Can you tell me what the sort of ethos was in terms of how tough the contest, or how willing the contest could be?
Yes, well, your previous caller mentioned about putting your head over the ball, and that was one of the coaching philosophies that they all had, and Polly was certainly one of those coaches that you needed to be able to commit your body, put your head over the ball. And as a result of that, you did get plenty of knocks around the head. And I remember my fifth game for East Perth being at the 7-minute mark of the first quarter, being knocked unconscious with a broken jaw, fractured cheekbone and concussion, and missed 8 games. And I remember just keeping my eyes on the ball, not expecting to be hit with traffic coming the other way. And that was a wake-up call for me. But there were other concussions that were quite serious that I had along the way as well, which I could go into.
Yeah, when did you first wear a helmet?
Well, in 1984, I got concussed, Benny Vigona, and I, from South Fremantle, in a very fair incident. And I remember my father saying to me later he could see what was going to happen well before I could.
Yes.
And he collected me. I went off. I stayed on the ground, actually, but knowing that I was absolutely in real trouble. And I remember just wandering around on the ground. This is in the second quarter, and just thinking about what a magnificent sunny day it was, and no interest whatsoever in the game. Eventually, teammates realised what was going on. They got one of the trainers out, and they just escorted me off the ground. And I went to hospital and spent, I missed the next 2 games because it took me that long. And then after that, I wore a helmet. And
did you do so willingly, or did you do so knowing that every photographer wanted to get a look at it, and everyone wanted to analyse why this bloke was wearing a helmet? And did we want helmets at the footy?
Good question, Jeff. Look, I wore the helmet very reluctantly. I did not want to be wearing a helmet. In the end, I got a helmet similar to the one Phil Narkle wore at Swan Districts, and that was not one that I felt comfortable with. And consequently, I got a bicycle-type helmet. I got double the thickness on that. Some people had said that wearing a helmet perhaps you feel a little more confident than what you should do. I just remember one game against Claremont. A particular Claremont player gave me an almighty punch in the back of the head wearing the helmet. And I remember thinking at the time, I am glad I'm wearing a helmet, because I still felt it, but I think it saved me from another concussion.
Tell me about a knock to the head that you got in the 1986 season, Peter?
Yeah, that was time on of the last quarter against Perth at Claremont Oval. And I got concussed, went off, and I remember, I wasn't unconscious, but I remember being in the change rooms and having no memory of what had happened in the last week or so, why I was at the game. Had no idea where I'd parked my car. My brother had to take me back home. And I remember that night, I had my parents-in-law and my parents were at home. And I can describe it this way. It was as though I was in the ceiling of the house and it was a glass ceiling and I was looking down at the people there. And it was very eerie. And I remember thinking, this isn't right. What's going on here? I finished up seeing a neurosurgeon after that who decided that I shouldn't play again that season.
And was this the neurosurgeon who said, can we bring your wife
Correct.
Into this as well?
Correct. He yeah. did. He said, so I missed the rest of that season. I was keen to try and play in 1987. He said, I want to see you. And he said to bring your wife with you, which I did. And he basically just looked at her and said, my recommendation is that Peter retires from the game and does not continue. And I just thought, wow, what's, you know, wasn't expecting that. And then when, I'm not being too flippant about it, that when we got outside, I said to my wife, well, it's very clear what we're going to be doing then. I'm going to play one more year and then I will retire. And she said, I knew you'd say that. Now, I
was
did give it a
lot.
Was she
cross with you for that kind of attitude?
Pardon?
Was she cross with you for that
she
kind of attitude?
She wasn't thrilled. She yeah. wasn't thrilled.
And in hindsight, you know, we would never put the young Peter Spencer through any of those experiences again.
No, not at all. And I now realise that I got through that 87, my last year, unscathed, no concussions, and I did wear the helmet. But when I think back to and looking at what's happened with Polly Farmer, I think I would have played it a little bit differently.
Do you have any concern that there is a legacy for you or there might be a legacy for you? I mean, you present to us, as Ben would attest, you know, you're just about the fittest bloke I've seen. You look like you could be running around now, but
yeah.
Is there a cost, do you think?
Perhaps there is, Jeff. Look, I've had some issues in the last couple of years that have been difficult ones that I had to sort out.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it. I read some of the situations that Polly Farmer faced in his time, and I've experienced some of those that were in the paper today. Now there could be other reasons as well I know of, but whether the concussions contributed more strongly to what happened to me in 2018-19, I don't know yet, and I'm not certain of that. But it's given me a lot to think about. Put it that way.
Yeah. Ben, can I bring you in today? What's the AFL response been like today to this?
Well, it's been pretty soft, to be honest, Jeff. I mean, Gillon McLachlan came out today and essentially said that they will use these as learnings moving forward. But as we know, and a lot of people don't like it when the AFL follows the NFL, the National Football League, gridiron over in the United States. But this is clearly an area in which the AFL will follow that. And in 2011, 4,500 retired NFL players had a class action that they launched, and it cost the NFL over $500 million. Mm. Now, that's US, so $750 million Australian dollars. Now, I think the key questions moving forward from here are, what does the AFL have to do to protect themselves from that moving forward? And probably more to the point, protect the players moving forward to ensure that they have the absolute best practice around players who are engaged in the game right now from the top down, because there are local football clubs who don't really have a concussion protocol in place at the moment. And let me tell you, there are players playing amateur football who are running around buzzed on the weekend from head knocks. So that's a concern of mine. And then how much will it cost the AFL for the damage that he's already done?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at John Platten, Greg Williams, other players who have spoken about the traumas they suffered throughout their careers. And that cost is very much inevitable. So how is that settled in the future moving forward? Those are the three main most pertinent questions out of today's findings or yesterday's findings.
Ben Cameron, thank you so much. Peter Spencer, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure, Jeff.